another enlightening episode of the Mad Scientists Exposed radio show, part of the Freedomizer Radio Network. Yes, we trust science. It's just scientists we don't trust. Visit madscientists.exposed for many ways to listen, or call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air. And now, here's our lead investigator, Suzanne.
Hi, thank you for tuning in to MadScientist.exposed. And I'd like to discuss different science topics because science is a two-edged sword. Every time we make a huge leap in the advancement of, you know, what we can do and build and know in science, somebody turns around and makes a weapon out of it. So I guess you can say mankind is a little bit evil genius there, this week I happened to watch a NOVA show online on fractals, and I hadn't really known that much about fractals, and I'm only recently getting familiar with them. You know, I knew kind of what they were, but the mathematics behind it has only really been exploding on the world, since I graduated. So I didn't have a whole lot of it in college. So it's a wonderful, fascinating thing to me. And the inspiration for it all mostly comes from this mathematician named Mandelbrot. And this is what I learned in this NOVA show. And I've got a link to that NOVA show on my website, madscientist.exposed. And what happened was when he was a kid in high school, one moment, somebody's trying to call me, don't call me. Anyway, when he was a kid in college, in high school, the teacher was teaching algebra, and he could visually see how the equations took shape. And normally that's a skill that takes some doing to acquire, but it just came to him naturally. He could see these shapes, and algebra was describing lines and planes and cubes and, you know, different shapes that you would add together. And, you know, it was, you know, it's kind of tedious doing all this algebra and all this Euclidean geometry and all this. But he was fascinated with not just the geometry of things that you could build. You know, if you notice, most human built buildings are rectangular with 90-degree angles. There's some variations, like with Wilbur Wright of the airplane fame. He was also an architect. I think it was Wilbur. One of the Wright brothers, anyway. And he's got, there are various houses around the country that are built with all these, you know, odd curves and things in them that he was known for. So he was trying to break out of that really rectangular mold. But, and there are people who build geodesic domes. There's the igloos. These are very strict mathematical shapes. And what Mandelbrot was fascinated with was the shape of living things, the shape of randomness, like coastlines and the forking of tree leaves and, you know, living things, the circulation in your body, you know, how your veins and arteries will just shape and take out and, you know, just fork into all these different shapes that fill your body. And a classic example is your brain, all the twists and turns in your brain. And they've measured the more twists and turns you've got going on in your brain, the more intelligent you are, the better you've got a handle on memory and things like that. And they can measure these things, but nobody really had a handle on what that curvature was about. And what Mendelssohn uncovered, and it was pretty much in the early age of computers, because in the late 50s, you know, by then he had gotten his PhD in math, and he didn't fit in really well with, he lived in France. He had actually survived the Nazi occupation in his very young years. But he went into teaching, you know, at a university after graduating, but he didn't fit in all that well. And so he found himself recruited by IBM at the time, you know, one of the earliest computer companies, and they were looking for unusual minds, and they recruited him. And he was able to leverage computer power to go through multiple iterations of this formula that he came up with to describe all these shapes. And as these shapes progress, the way it matches the universe is no matter how small a scale you look at the shapes, they're all pretty much the same shape. And if you zoom out, it's the same shape again on a large scale. And it's just a fascinating episode of Nova to watch. And it kind of explains all the shapes in the universe and coastlines and planets and you know, living things on the Earth that don't follow a rigid, you know, Euclidean, you know, square geometry kind of thing. And it's described almost like a fourth dimension. You know, they're not discussing time in this, which I think of time as a fourth dimension, but this is another dimension of depth. And he calls it roughness. You know, he gave us the tools to measure roughness and that, you know, the intricate ins and outs of all of this. And this, I find it fascinating, you know, that something to get a handle on this. And a lot of things have sprung out of this. So he, I guess, launched his big book in 1980, and it took the world by storm. He had a lot of naysayers, but when the applications were applied to it, that's how we've seen all this explosions of miniaturization of things and video games. Just to come up with landscapes in video games, you know, you have these games that gin up, you know, hit a button and you have a whole new world to yourself. Well, it's generated out of these equations, and everyone is unique. And so, you know, you have your kids zooming through, you know, flying these artificial jets through, you know, mountain ranges and things like that. And it's done quite a bit for, you know, special effects in movies. The fractal equations figured very prominently in the Star Wars movies. So as far as transmitters and things, cell phones have gotten smaller and smaller. Well, I mean, there's a limit as to how small the hand can really hold on to. You know, I've had some that I'm really irritated with. They're so small. But, you know, when cell phones first came out, they had these obnoxious antennas on them. And you know, I was a ham radio operator back then, and you know, we had these handy talkies. They were like in the same vein as cell phones, but whether it's a handy talkie or a cell phone, they had these obnoxious antennas, and you had to be careful not to kink the antenna in your purse. And they came out with shorter and shorter antennas, so you had them like the size of your thumb on the phone. And now cell phones don't have antennas at all. And the way that came about with, because the way fractals work, you can take a line and you can add an angle to it. It's like laying a triangle on a line, and so you've increased the length of the line without increasing the space it takes up, and you can come up with all these geometric patterns. It's almost like the old ancient labyrinth that you walk around. Now, these are kind of square, but you know, the labyrinths were roundish, you know, meditative labyrinths that different religions have used. I guess there's labyrinths in, I don't know, is it Hinduism or Buddhism, and I know Christianity has a tradition of meditating and walking in a labyrinth. And that's how they've miniaturized the antennas. So they've gotten them down so small that you can have a cell phone that communicates in the cell phone radiation level, which I think is the 900 is it megahertz. I don't know. And then there's the Bluetooth frequency, and there's this frequency and that frequency and all kinds of stuff that it can do. So it's just kind of fascinating. And just that, you know, we've applied that to get these cell phones so small, and I know that that's what they're using to make these chips so small that they want to inject into people to carry all kinds of data. And, you know, so there's tools that have sprung out of this for making our lives wonderful, and there are tools that are springing out of this that might not be so wonderful. So anyway, so I've got a link to that Nova episode and a promo for a BBC show. I don't know if I can actually find the entire article, but I mean the entire BBC show. But it gives an overview, and then there's the Nova episode, which is 53 minutes long. And, you know, it just kind of hit me. I watched this show, like, wow, the applications to this. And so I've found a whole bunch of articles on fractals with artificial intelligence, because if we're if we're modeling the brain, that's how they're going to model the artificial intelligence. They're going to try to recreate consciousness. You know, last year I watched Spielberg's Extant, 2 seasons, 10 episodes each, and it was this family that was childless, and so as the husband wanted to present a gift to his wife because she wanted a child and he wanted a child, and so he built this robot and he gave it artificial intelligence and a brain. And at the time, I hadn't really connected it with this fractal stuff, and so I was always of the opinion that this wasn't possible, because, you know, I remember back to the old ELIZA program days where it was a program that simulated having a conversation with you, and it would ask you a question, and it was just, you ended up in a loop, and it was supposedly psychoanalyzing you, and it would just ask you questions, and it would just take words that you would respond with and form them into a question and hit them back at you. So I guess it was kind of like derogatory towards psychoanalysts. Anyway, that's how far I thought they could go with it. And that was slightly, maybe a little before, maybe a little after this book came out. So it hadn't hit this ELIZA program yet. And I don't know how many people out there are actually old enough to remember the ELIZA program. You might find it online somewhere. it was a goofy little game. And but if it had this kind of iterative technology behind it, it could have devised smarter and smarter questions to ask you and actually possibly simulate a real conversation. And so that's where this is going. And so I don't know if you've noticed, almost every day on the Drudge Report, there's stories about robots and how robots are going to take over our lives. And there are people now, I guess, that are building glorified sex dolls with these brains in them. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but the whole concept is replacing human beings with robots, and that's not the purpose of robots. Robots are supposed to be things that, you know, they're just tools that serve you. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to program in emotions. They might be able to program in an intelligence of a sort with, you know, with these computer iterations, but I am not convinced yet that they can actually come up with true emotions, or certainly not anything in the spiritual realm. That's a whole other dimension that they're not even touching on. And the theory seems to be, and this fits right in with the thinking of the New World Order, is obsoleting mankind. You know, the economy doesn't need you anymore, and so we're going to try to lead you down this path of depopulation. And it's like, that's not the purpose of robots. That's not the purpose of the economy. The economy is to serve the people who live in the economy. It's not the point of the people to serve the economy. It's just, you know, it's a totally backwards view of it. And, you know, of course, we've talked about it in other episodes. You know, there are people out there that view mankind or humanity as a pestilence on the earth. And so they've implemented these depopulation agendas, and they have these stealth vaccines with all these extra ingredients that aren't necessarily written in the package inserts, because we have the doctors that have been doing the tests on them. You know, they're there to, if they don't kill you, they're there to possibly sterilize you or your children. You know, we have the HPV vaccine sending thousands of girls into wheelchairs, and possibly a lot of them also have ovarian failure. So if you won't die for the New World Order, at least maybe you won't have children for the New World Order. And if this is all, it's all a race too, because we're racing to get to Mars now. Several countries and several private corporations are trying to get to the moon and Mars, and that now we see the CDC escalating its vaccine schedule, trying to suppress leaving the Earth before we, in their minds, pollute the rest of the solar system with humanity. And it's just, you know, we got to pick sides. Is humanity good or is humanity bad? And, you know, I don't think nature is so dumb. And if nature came up with humanity, then we're a good thing. So anyway, let me take a quick break here while I choose some articles to throw at you. And we'll be right back.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Monica Floyd, your brand new host on Dark Minds Think Alike radio show on Freedomizer Radio. We'll have special guests each week with unique perspectives from behind the curtain. Tune in, call, or chat with us during our live broadcast at 347-324-3704. You can catch us Tuesday and Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 12 noon to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
Hi, so we're back, and I have a friend who looks like he's calling in. Last week, the pressing 1 didn't work for him. So I don't see any, I see a couple of callers, but I don't see any 1s. But I'm going to assume that Steve wants to talk to us. Hi, Steve, you there?
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi. So did you mean for me to pick up your call?
Actually, I pressed 1 as soon as you started talking about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't see the little mark. Maybe I pressed it too fast. But if anybody else wants to join, I'm not seeing the little mark that says that you've pressed 1. So if you do want to call, try calling in again and pressing 1 again. And if this problem continues, I'll talk to the boss of the place. Anyway, so what are your thoughts on all this stuff?
I think you're doing a good job of a monologue. That was fine.
Well, if you want to jump out, I can jump out on you. You don't have to join in. But I've got some. I'm sorry.
I called as soon as the program started, and you said, don't call. So I didn't press 1.
What? I didn't. I said, don't call?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody's trying to call me, you said.
No, somebody tried to call my own phone. I'm actually dialed in myself. And
it
looked like one of my kids was trying to call me. I'm like, don't call me on Tuesdays at 4:30. That's not the time to call me.
I
so I just kind of ignored it and just hoped nobody else was hearing the boop I was hearing in my ears.
I see. So, where do you want to go with this?
I don't know. I mean, how far can this technology go? I see how it can blossom into something really huge. You know, and all these different applications, you know, the brain intricacies and, you know, I don't know if they can ever manage to apply it to spiritual issues. I don't know if they can get it to choose good versus evil. There was a headline on Drudge the other day that they've programmed a self-driving car to choose the life of the passenger over the life of a pedestrian. Now, I think that needs to be a lot of, you know, other factors that go into that, you know, like the speed of the car, and what are the likelihood of that each will survive and all that kind of stuff. It just was kind of an ugly headline, I thought.
Versus the age of the pedestrian?
I wonder if it can estimate that.
I don't know.
But
don't you think it'd be better to keep a kid in a car seat alive versus somebody 98 years old and he just dropped his cane?
That's not for us to make.
Well,
I don't know.
See?
Wow, that's not something I would want to do. You know, that's pretty shocking.
Kind
you know?
Of hard
so,
to
program
that. And controversial, isn't it?
Well, that's like death panels, you know. There's, you know, the new fad, at least last year, was teenagers dyeing their hair gray. So the car might misjudge the age of the pedestrian. There's all kinds of stuff like that.
So did you ever read iRobot by Asimov?
I did as a kid, and then I saw the movie, because there'd been so much time that passed that I didn't even remember what it was. And what it turns out, I guess it was a lot of short stories. And they tied them together to make a movie, you know, full-length movie story out of it.
There
were the three laws of robotics. I'll pull up the three laws of robotics. That's what I remembered. It was like do no harm kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it came out in December 2nd, 1950. So I read it soon thereafter.
Yeah, I wasn't born then.
Yeah. And I think those laws of robotics keep from happening the kind of thing I was suggesting about having to choose between the life of a kid in a car seat and an old man who just dropped his cane.
Yeah, well, and now we have a headline on Drudge that they're teaching robots to make that choice. And I don't think that's wise. Anyway, so the three laws of robotics are... A robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. Number two, a robot must obey orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. So, I mean, this was just invented by Isaac Asimov, and people have taken them as some kind of religion, you know, and they kind of make sense to protect human beings from robots.
Well, yeah, but if you give the robot a problem like the one I posed, what does it do?
Yeah.
How can it do the first law under those circumstances?
Come to a complete halt and shut itself down.
I think so. In other words, if you're going to follow the laws of robotics, which maybe people don't necessarily want to do, but if you do, then you've got to turn the control of the car over to the person at that kind of a point.
Now, that's a good point. And so the rules still apply. You don't go to sleep and you pay attention.
Yeah, you better not be sleeping in the back seat. I heard about the... guy who bought a motorhome and put it on cruise control on the big highway and went back to make himself a martini.
That's not what cruise control is. Wow.
Supposedly a true story. I just don't know what happened. I'll leave that to your imagination.
Yeah, because, that's a small step. Cruise control I find useful, but, you know, I keep my hands on the wheel and I pay attention to the lanes around me and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's more to it. I guess you're thinking, I never understood automatic pilot in the sky either. Because I've never flown a plane, so that's why I don't understand it.
Well, I guess it has its place. Give the pilot a chance to play his mandolin.
So will it fit in the cockpit? How big are cockpits anyway?
They're about that big.
About that big. Yeah, I mean that's real cool. I don't see it. Robots creating their own art, although there was a lot of Star Trek episodes about that with Data trying to learn the violin and take up painting and stuff like that. But
so you've gotten into robotics tonight. I thought you were going to do fractals and artificial intelligence.
Well, what's driving the robot? It's artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Is it?
Well, I guess. Then is it Bayesian recursive learning theory, or schooled or unschooled, or?
Or what theory?
And for Bayesian, and where do neural networks come in? I don't know anything.
Well,
about
they're all that branching like leaves kind of thing, and I was thinking about how to apply it to colonization of Mars, because you know I've seen this video by who is it, Musk, Elon Musk, and he has another article today, and one thing, you know, and I'm connecting all these sciences in my head. Science is not divided. There's not hard walls between the sciences. And so they connect, and one will leapfrog onto the next. So I've been watching this BP Earth Watch on YouTube, and he'll watch the sun, the solar activity on the sun, and he'll watch the output that CERN Large Hadron Collider puts out, and he'll watch the Earth's magnetic field. And he watches as the Hadron Collider spins up. It actually draws energy off the Earth's magnetic field, but it also puts off such a large magnetic field of its own that it affects the sunspots on the sun, and they might throw out a coronal mass ejection. And if they come right at us, then they can trigger earthquakes. And so it can be weaponized, but also it can be used to protect us. He said last week we had an episode where we had solar wind flowing in reverse. We don't know where it was coming from out in the solar system, but it was flowing in reverse, and they actually used that Hadron Collider to gin up the magnetic shield to protect us from what was coming from behind us. So they know what they're doing, but it can be weaponized or it can be for our benefit. So it's kind of, where are they going with that? Oh, anyway, one of the reasons Mars doesn't have an atmosphere is really because it doesn't have much of a magnetic field at all. And if, you know, Elon Musk, like a year ago, he was putting out articles, oh, we should warm up Mars by exploding nuclear bombs over its poles, and that'll melt the water at the pole to make it flow and warm up the planet, but it wouldn't stay warm. It just seemed ridiculous, you know, and he's not going to get to keep anything he makes unless he does something about the Mars atmosphere, the Mars magnetic field. So, okay, maybe he needs to build a Large Hadron Collider on Mars, because we know now that they can gin up a magnetic field with it.
Maybe you need to
and that way,
read somebody else.
I should write him a letter, huh?
Yes.
And that way, what do I think what?
If you think it will fix him, you could write him a letter.
If I think it would reach him. Yeah, because I'm training these sciences together in my head. I'm not an expert in any of them. I'm just taking this overview from all these different sources I'm getting, because it's like eating popcorn. It can't stop.
Yeah, well,
but if he,
sounds to me as though he's worth ignoring.
I don't think he's worth ignoring. If he actually ginned up a magnetic field on Mars to protect Mars, he could create an atmosphere that Mars would get to keep. The gravity on Mars
is
as
do
much
that?
As build a Hadron Collider on Mars.
I see.
Because then it would protect Mars from the solar wind, which is what blew the atmosphere away on Mars. So, I mean, it has a thin atmosphere, but a lot of its carbon is in its rocks. If he could, what he should do is dig up the coal on Mars and feed it to the Hadron Collider, so that'll put out carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which would be really good for the plants he wants to plant. Otherwise, everybody's going to be living under a dome forever. They just live in a greenhouse on Mars like they do at the South Pole here. It's too cold, and so people live under these domes at the South Pole. And they probably have little, you know, pockets of greenhouses under there, like that movie, The Martian last year? Was it Matt Damon or was it? It was pretty good. It got a little too fantastic at the end. It had overlap with Sandra Bullock's Gravity, where jumping from spaceship to spaceship at high speeds was just too unbelievable. You know, you're like throwing granules of sand at each other and expecting they're going to hit, which, you know, they do that with this Hadron Collider, but I don't think they do it with human people.
Mm.
Anyway, anyway, so the early parts of it were okay. He was growing potatoes under a big dome greenhouse that he created. But the end of it, how they rescued him, I just found too unbelievable. But, you know, if they want to make Mars habitable, you know, the UN has something to say about that. They don't want us disturbing any microscopic life we might find, which that's kind of legitimate. And now we're finding out, you know, moons of, I think it's Jupiter, a couple of moons of Jupiter have frozen surfaces, but underneath they're actually water oceans.
Yeah.
They might have life underneath them. And that, you know, it's, you know, from where we couldn't see life anywhere to now maybe we're seeing life everywhere. And
maybe some food. Maybe some food.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I want to eat Martian food unless we've grown it there from stuff that we've brought.
I don't know.
Like if we're cranking out coal-fired hadron colliders on Mars to create a magnetic field for an atmosphere, then, you know, we're cranking out carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which would help warm up Mars, like it's doing on Venus. But then that would help spread new rainforests across Mars. You know, as long as you keep that hadron collider going, then you have carbon dioxide that would feed trees that you're planting there. This week I watched an interesting show on how the rainforest helps the Earth's atmosphere and climate by the way they put out, you know, they respirate out water at a slower pace than just like hitting a skillet with a hot water and having it burn out. But the rainforest at the equator help moderate the climate. You know, so you don't have these wild storms going on, you know, these heavy floods and these. I should put a link to that, too.
It's called transpiration.
I bet you. Huh? It's called what?
I say it's called transpiration.
Transpiration.
Yeah, that's the breathing out of water into the atmosphere by plants.
Yeah, so I'll find that that show and put a link to that, too. Because I watch hardly any airwave or cable shows anymore. Because I've lost my tolerance for commercial breaks, pretty much.
Yeah.
So I pull up things on, you know, Amazon and YouTube, mostly YouTube, really, because that's easy to share with people. You know, if I have a nice show on Amazon, like that Extant show, I saw that on Amazon. I don't know if anybody can see it on YouTube or where it is. That was a Spielberg thing. And Spielberg, I don't really, he's always got an edge where people aren't quite human, even the human characters. Everybody's kind of like out for themselves, and they're lacking the compassion quotient. And that bothers me about Spielberg shows, Spielberg movies and stuff. So, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let me check it. I saw Ed's number on there, but I didn't see the one come up. So I don't know if he wants to talk or not. Oh, that's not Ed. That's somebody else.
I thought he was
out of range. Ed's driving around with his phone. He can call in anytime he wants. He's got it on speed dial. But some of my family's helping move some furniture for me today, and I finally said, I can't go. It's too late in the day. I want to stick around for my show. So anyway, so I do see a number here. Somebody's calling in, and the little symbol, if you want to talk to us, is not popping up. So if you do want to talk, call us back and hit that one. So anyway, so why don't I pull up another article here? There's some pretty good things. There's some books and stuff out too that Mendelbrot, he's got his book out. There's another guy now that's big. He's like referenced all over the web. And where is his name? His name is Y.H. Tsang, Waihtsang, and then he's got a two-hour video, which I haven't watched his whole video yet, but he's got a book out with a description on it, and this is on contributoria.com. I don't know what that means, but World Peace, Enlightenment, and Artificial Intelligence by James Alexander. When a true genius appears in the world, you may know him by this sign, that the dunces are all in confederacy against him. That's a quote from Jonathan Swift. And Mandelbrot kind of said the same thing. You know, these people all, you know, I didn't fit in and they all poo-pooed it, but now look, everybody's doing it. Anyway, so the article goes on. Eccentric, idealistic, and creative to the point of delusion. So says the Wikipedia entry for Ignatius J. Riley, the repugnantly lovable anti-hero of a confederacy of dunces, the book whose title refers to the above quote. Y.H. Chang, artificial intelligence researcher and mystic, would readily admit this description could have been written about him, and yet he is no Ignatius. Y. is pleasant, with a childlike enthusiasm for life. He looks about 30, yet is in fact 45. His zeal for his passion is palpable. He pronounces T-H as D, so his speech is littered with days and dis. He's lean and of Chinese heritage, with long gray hair tied in a ponytail, and lives in London with his partner and two children. To get straight to the point, Wei believes that he has developed a theory which solves the biggest question of all. How does the mind work? What is consciousness, and what is God? Hint, they are the same. Well, damn. I mean, I think of God as other from me, but I'm a child of God. He says his theory, which he calls the symmetry, self-similarity, and recursive theory, or the fractal brain theory for short, is so profound and compelling that it will provide the foundation for the creation of the first true artificial intelligence and unite the world. The formulation, in this quote from the book, the formulation of the fractal brain theory has been a 25-year-plus journey taking place outside academia and the corporate world. The theory shows that, like the fertilized egg, everything emanating in our lives, bodies, brains, and minds, is a single, continuous emanation which is described by and is the expression of a single recursive function. Yeah, that describes the Mandelbrot equation. You may have noticed this is quite a claim, and as Christopher Hitchens once wrote, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. So to back this up, Wei says he's developed a simulation using his algorithm, a working artificial intelligence that will prove it. And this goes on and on. And anyway, so that sounds like an interesting book to read. They've got a picture of a geometric grid here that almost looks, well, kind of looks like a labyrinth, and it kind of looks like an American Indian blanket pattern. But in the middle of it is the brain with all its convolutions, and you have to kind of like squint your eyes to see it. So I've got a link to that in there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did a little search, and I came up with somebody named Sang, P-S-A-N-G, whose name's also Dane Lin, D-A-I-N-L-I-N, Dane Lin Sang. And he wrote...
Oh, they're related? They have the same last name.
He wrote New Computation Methods for Geometric Geometrical Optics.
I wonder how they teach it to make decisions. Yeah. I'm trying to relate it to the betterment of mankind versus the weaponization against mankind.
There's also one by Asang. A simple vector system to improve performance and utilization of recombinant antibodies. He's a joint. I don't know how that got here. I don't see his name on the, maybe he's cited in this thing. I don't know.
Is that what they're going to put in vaccines?
I don't have a clue what they're going to do with vaccines.
take over the human body with artificially intelligent vaccines. Well, they've been talking about putting nanotechnology into vaccines. Not sure why,
yep.
But now I'm thinking they can program them with this.
Well,
you know, and I just want to leave us alone.
Why don't you just put out some nanotechnology dust particles, and each particle gives you temperature, pressure, and what else? How about a spectrum?
What would that do?
Well, then you could have weather reporting from all over the place.
Oh, maybe
even
that's
inside
what to do with
somebody's
the chemical.
Body. If you drink it.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem is, can you excrete it again? Because I don't really want this artificial stuff floating around, you know, that somebody might have programmed.
Yeah. Well, it might make me smarter.
you know, What kind of smart? Hey, this article goes down. It's interesting. Don McCarthy, one of the founders of the discipline of artificial intelligence, it goes down. In recent years, the main advances in artificial intelligence, spearheaded by Peter Norvig at Google, have come about from the big data approach, mining as much information as possible, representing the new philosophy in science, truth by big data and statistics. Trying to find simple, elegant models to explain what is going on, he says, is a waste of time. There is no doubt that the statistical model is effective. It's exactly how Google's search engines work. It's exactly how they translate languages, too, not by understanding grammatical rules of the language, but by statistically reasoning what the next word in the sentence should be based on the data they hold on billions of web pages. So now this goes down to, this has formed the backdrop for a debate between Norvig and Noam Chomsky, the world's most influential linguist and one of the foremost intellectuals. Chomsky said, "It is our duty to seek an elegant model, a theory of intelligence built upon simple structure that gives us meaning." He says, "Mining data without a model is like studying the dance made by a bee returning to the hive and producing a simulation without ever understanding why the bee behaves that way. If we really want to understand what intelligence is, if we really want to create an artificial intelligence that can think like us," he says, "we need a model." And I'm just surprised that Noam Chomsky's name came up. I mean, that's a name that's been around forever, and I just saw a video with him yesterday talking about the, you know, the election and how it's going and stuff like that. So he must be some mentor that a lot of people look up to.
Yeah, they do. They tend to be what? New World types.
New World Order sites?
Types.
The types.
People who are into Noam Chomsky tend to be liberals, shall I say.
I guess.
That's my impression anyway.
So then it goes, inch per way. His model boils the brain down. I think there's too many does in there. His model boils the biological brain down to its most abstract, irreducible elements, chipping away all its psychological elements to arrive at a model consisting of binary trees, binary combinatorial spaces, and emotional attractors. This positions his theory close to Chomsky's deal, an elegant model of intelligence. Wei says that when put to work, if indeed it does work, his theory will subsume and reproduce all the current advances in AI that Google and others have developed using the statistical method. So maybe I hope we're not boring the audience on this. It just seems kind of fascinating. It's a big overview of the infinitely small and infinitely large. And the thing about this Mandelbrot's equation is there is no irreducible element. I mean, I know they keep looking for that even at the Hadron Collider. They're looking for the smallest and smallest particles and all this, and supposedly the God particle. But if you follow the equations, there are no irreducible elements. The universe just keeps getting, you know, at the microscopic smaller and smaller level, it's the same as it is at the macroscopic entire universe level. And now I realize that the universe isn't round. I always thought it was kind of round or an egg shape kind of thing, and now I know it's not. It's just kind of...
I think of the universe as an n-dimensional Mebus strip.
So you come back to the beginning?
Well, that's in any universe, if you go in a straight line comes back, you know, if you look in a straight line, it comes and hits you at the back of your head.
Yeah, and, you know, a Mobius strip, you take just a strip of paper, you bend it back on itself so you have a loop, but you give it one twist. So as you, like, draw a line around the paper, you end up covering both sides of the paper and it just keeps meeting and it's an infinite thing. But I kind of tend to think of the universe as like this.
Did you ever cut that in half?
Snow dome. Did I ever cut it in half? You mean lengthwise?
I mean along the line you just drew.
I never did, but I would guess that you'll end up with two Mobius strips that way.
Right. So if you keep doing that, you get n-dimensional Mobius strips.
So the universe isn't a glass snow dome that God sits on the outside and looks in at us, huh?
The universe is anything you can imagine.
And we're all at the center of our own universes.
You got it.
Oh, my universe isn't round anymore after reading all this stuff today. It's got all these angle edges from the Mandelbrot equation.
I wonder how he says his name. He's from France. I would have said Mandelbrot.
Oh, you could be right. You could be
I
right.
I just don't know. I never heard anybody saying Mandelbrot until today when I watched that movie, that video.
Oh, you did. You did watch it. I sent it to you. Wow. Maybe he anglicized it for us Americans.
I think so. People make that mistake. It keeps Americans dumb when everybody does it that way.
Well, it was the old style back in the day. I have some, you know, Irish ancestors that came over, and when they came in, the customs agent anglicized their name for them, changed the spelling and everything.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen as much anymore, but it did happen back in the day. Well, good thing my mom knew the original spelling, so when she went back to Ireland, she was able to find the town and the location of where her grandmother was baptized and all that stuff.
Were you on that trip?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't there. I think that was back in the late 80s. I was either getting married or having a baby or something. I don't know what I was doing. So someday I'll get there. So here's the science form. Fractal, the key to true artificial intelligence. Oh, that website, the database is down. I wonder what that's about.
Have you gotten into Nassim Haramein and the Resonance Project?
Not yet, but that's probably related to the Rife frequency resonances where you can vibrate germs to death and not harm human tissue.
Well, he's into general theory of relativity, new physics. He has a monstrous campus on, what is it? I think it's Maui.
Well, I Googled the Resonance Project, and it comes up. The first thing is Resonance Science Foundation. That's resonance.is. I don't know what country IS is.
That would be
Israel. Israel IL? Oh, well, all right.
I don't know. But that would be the wrong guy. What you need is NASSIM. Next word is HARAMEIN. And then resonance. And then YouTube. And you'll find all kinds of stuff.
There he is, Nassim Haramein. Okay, the Resonance Project Foundation.
Yeah,
and
that's something you might be very interested in.
Yeah, resonanceproject.org.
He's into geometries and so forth that I guess he talks fractals also.
Discovering the rhythms of collective experience. And he's got clouds, Mandelbrot clouds.
He gets into fractal geometry. Nature of dynamics, natural dynamics. He has a 14-minute, 47-second YouTube video on that.
The power of spin.
Yeah.
By the same guy. Yeah, because all this. Why do physicists on Quora think about Nassim Haramein and the... Now I got to click on it to see it. Rational Wiki. But all of this is fascinating because I'm sure it's all related. You know, and of course, if they would apply some of this stuff, you know, you wouldn't need any of the vaccines because you just, you know, resonate the body with the frequency that will kill each microbe. Each harmful microbe. And
only
I guess
yesterday
there
I came across Rayleigh Bernard conjugation cells. That's
who?
Related.
I'm sorry?
Only
what's
yesterday I learned about the Rayleigh Bernard convection cells. That's RayleighBenard. You can see images of that if you Google that. All kinds of interesting images.
Wow. And that looks like the surface of the sun.
The
large convection sections of the sun. Here we are back to the Hadron Collider and how these are being affected, and the magnetic fields. Because, you know, I worked for a while for the Solar Observatory. All this stuff in nature keeps repeating itself.
And you can add Bermuda Triangle clouds to that search and get all kinds of more stuff.
Hexagonal clouds at the Bermuda Triangle. Is that,
wow,
yep. that looks like the North Pole of Saturn.
Kind of looks like stuff I've been looking at myself. It all ties,
wow.
Huh?
Yes. Yeah, all the sciences are tied together. If we see it coming, we can ward it off. There'll always be somebody trying to weaponize this. We have to figure out, get the handle on and where evil comes from. I'm sorry?
There's also the fourth phase of water. Pretty interesting.
Is that a plasma?
I forget what it's, H3O4 or something.
Well, that's heavy water, right?
No, you're talking about deuterium. No, it's it has a polymeric structure. I have photographs of ice cubes growing spines in the freezer we had in Connecticut. Happened a couple or three times. I took some pictures of it. And when lavas are cooling, they grow hair on the surface. Glass hairs sticking out. Polymerization is pretty interesting stuff. Let's see here.
Wow, yeah, I'm looking at some, looks like more North Poles of Saturn in some of these images.
Yeah.
This is all too fascinating.
Well, go back to sleep then.
No, I wasn't sleeping. I was just, this is going to take me years to read all this.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, life is only so long. You can just cram all this stuff into it. But they're going to cram a lot more into it with their artificially intelligent robots, aren't they?
There you go, the fourth state of water, structured water and water memory. Dr. Paul.
Oh, wow.
K. Professor of Bioengineering at the University of Washington, spent a decade researching the role water plays within cells.
Wow,
easy
and you know, I've heard people talk about water having memory, and
yeah.
I never figured out what they meant by that. Although, you know, I was raised in a church that provided holy water.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's, you know, you speak over the water and blends it, or the priest does, and that resonates from his voice and imparts special features to the holy water. So this,
yeah, we went,
you know, everything
Lourdes.
All new again. Huh?
We went to Lourdes in France.
Oh, I've never been there. I've heard,
and,
but I went to Our Lady of Lourdes.
I'm looking at a video that says water has memory. I'm not going to play it now, but.
Well, I'll find it. I'll put it on the site so people can find it.
Okay, I'll send you this URL.
Thank you.
Sure.
There's pictures of water molecules diving off a diving board here. I don't know what that's about. Raising health and consciousness with geometrically structured water. This is sitshowblogs.blogspot.com. Kind of looks like a liquid snowflake. Water of life, the fourth phase of water.
You have email.
I have email. Okay, I'll put it on the site. Should we take a break and rest the brain for a moment?
I'm always broke.
You're always broke.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? Let me, we have another caller. I should have looked sooner, and let me bring him in.
Hello.
Hi, you still there? Thank you for waiting.
I don't know. Am
thoughts?
I still here? Am I here?
Yes.
Do I have thoughts? I'm a thoughtless person.
This is Suzanne.
I'm without thoughts.
We
form.
Can fix that now.
I'm a void. But anyway, are you all familiar with Willard Water? You ever heard of Willard Water?
I've heard of it.
I never heard of it.
Y'all were talking about water, you know, and everything, and it kind of came to my mind. I thought I'd punch in and make a comment.
Yeah.
Earlier you were talking about AI and all that. Are you familiar with, I know it's used in healing and stuff, but with the AI thing, you're familiar with Ray Kurzweil and the transhumanism and all that stuff, right? You ought to check it out. It's pretty weird.
I haven't heard of
and
Ray Kurzweil,
evil.
But I've heard of transhumanism. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's their way of being God and all this other wacko stuff, and they're also eugenicists. They want to pretty much depopulate the planet, you know. So you know, and it's like
so
okay, if it's such a great idea. Yeah, it's like why don't they go first if it's such a great idea? Okay.
Yeah. That's my answer always too. You know, you wanna depopulate my system, like you step on.
Well, they come at me with a vaccine and a needle, and it's like, I'll tell you what. You ever heard the saying, don't go to a gunfight with a knife? Well, don't go to a gunfight with a needle and a syringe either. Because I'm going to see who can put a bigger hole in you. Okay? But anyway, I don't get into all this nanotechnology and vaccines. I don't even do vaccines. So why would I want nano? You know, it's like... Inject it into your own self. Leave me out of that equation, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, but it's going to come to it. It's going to, I mean, they're going to try to impose it on everybody because we're all members of their herd. They run the place, and we're part of their herd, and so they're just going to herd us
for
like
yourself,
cattle.
Sister. I'm not one of their cows.
No.
I don't go moo.
I'm being sarcastic. I'm saying this is what they're thinking, and so we all have to fight back because it ended a couple of weeks ago. They wanted us to leave comments on the public forum for the government on the CDC weaponizing itself and imposing all these vaccines, whatever they want. They can arrest people and then forcefully inject it into you. Now they want comments on the MMR. What's wrong with the MMR?
Everything.
Everything. But if you read the thing, the more what they want to hear about is how can we change the package insert to convince you to buy it? And it's like, you can't do that. We're not going to buy it. The cat's out of the bag. You're corrupt as heck. So it doesn't matter what you put on it. We know you're lying.
How can we relabel sodium and potassium cyanide so that people don't think it's poison? You can't.
Yeah.
It is. It's, I don't play all that. I'm not taking any vaccines. I haven't taken a vaccine since I got a tetanus shot, 1983, 84, something like that. And I had to get one. It was just the way it was. I got cut real bad, and it was just, standard operating procedure.
They might not have weaponized it yet back then. They have weaponized the tetanus vaccine now,
then,
they are using it.
Yeah, back then it wasn't so bad. Back then the vaccines weren't so as sinister as they are now. But, it's crazy.
They're intentionally adding unlabeled ingredients into it now to intentionally sterilize women in Africa. And a bunch of doctors got suspicious because they had upped the schedule for women of childbearing age for the tetanus shot over there, but not anybody else. And they go, well, why? And so they analyzed it, and it made them immune to their own pregnancies. It's total eugenicist crap over there.
Yeah,
it
causes
an
abortion.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're off.
Yeah, and they must think that African women are going to... Sorry?
It makes the body's immune system kill the baby. I'm losing signal again.
Yeah. Just.
I'll be back though.
Just reject it.
I'm driving down the road, but once I get my signal back, I'm going through a canyon.
Yeah.
I'm in Oregon right now. So
wow.
It'll be like, all of a sudden, poof, he's gone, and then I'll be back.
Okay.
It just takes a minute.
Then
to
I'll
drive.
Understand.
Yes, I'll magically disappear and reappear.
I watched
so
the
when
movie.
People are.
I watched a movie with John Belushi and what's her name, going up through Oregon today.
All those nice fractal mountains?
I guess. Whoopi Goldberg. It was a pretty funny movie.
What was it, Sister Act?
No, I forget the title.
No. She can be funny. I just wish she weren't so hateful.
Well, she wasn't hateful in this, aside from the fact that she was shooting everybody that she met, making a living by robbing convenience stores and stuff. It was pretty crazy.
If she can make that funny, then that's a good comedian. I'm sorry, what?
She ended up getting shot at the end. John Belushi was
the... Oh, that's not so funny.
Well, the whole movie was pretty funny, but anyway, pathetic too, you know.
I guess
it had its own brand of humor.
Wow. Well, as for the vaccines, they're going to try to sneak them in on us. You know, nanotechnology and our bananas and stuff like that. You'll eat it, you know you've eaten it.
You've got the army spreading viruses over San Francisco, you know, and...
Oh, you mean with the chemtrails?
Not just chemtrails. They've actually done experiments through time, you know, and find out how many people get sick and how many people die when they hit the population with a certain spray. That's the kind of thing army...
What is the purpose
experiment
of this?
To find out whether or not...
Well, yeah,
this,
like Joseph Mengele. Joseph Mengele experiment. Like Joseph Mengele, right?
Yes.
I mean, what's the point?
So what?
Hey, our friend is back. Our friend is back. I'll bring him in again.
Yeah.
And,
Hey, Gabe. What is the point. Problem? You were talking about Dr. Mengele?
Mengele.
Yeah. Mengele?
Well,
actually, it's Mengele, but yeah.
Mengele.
Yeah, doctor?
Yeah.
Yes. Did someone call for a doctor? Yes? anyway, all right. So much for my German accent. Yes. Hey, by the way, what's your name, by the by?
I'm Suzanne. What's your name?
Suzanne. Larry.
Steve.
How long
nice
have
to
you
meet
had...
you.
Steve. Nice to meet you, Steve and Suzanne. How long have you had the show?
Since about May, and so you can pull up all the past episodes on my site, which is madscientists.exposed.
Mad Scientist.
I have the radio listen page. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
let's
I
go to
science,
the lab and make something on this lab. Yes. Anyway,
I make something
weird
on the site. Yeah, well, what really got me started is a couple of years ago, I watched an interview on Greta Van Susteren of this Dr. Sapphire, this woman... virus researcher. She was researching the Ebola virus, and she was just too happy with it. She kept talking about it like it was her tinker toy, and then halfway through the interview, she switched hats and how all these research dollars into Ebola were going to save the economy. Like, what? I thought saving the economy meant saving the people in the economy. This is not for your benefit to,
the
people suffer and die. That hurts the economy. And that's when I realized there really are mad scientists in the world.
Yeah,
they just have no soul.
They're wackos, yeah. Well, look at the guy. I can't remember his name right now. They brought him in from Nazi Germany after the war to open Plum Island. And his expertise was putting diseases in insects and turning them loose on the public to, kill people. Weaponize
insects,
yeah, that's where Lyme disease came from, huh? That's where Lyme disease came from, isn't it?
Yeah, Lyme, Connecticut. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pretty smart for a girl.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go. Not bad.
Well, I'm a little too old to call a girl anymore.
it was a joke. Lighten up, kid.
I know. Hey, I'm laughing.
Hey, I called.
No, I'm laughing.
I called my girlfriend a girl, so there you go. I call my mom a kid.
Oh.
So, I mean, no.
Well,
but anyway.
Well,
yeah, she was.
Hey, but I know one of the cures for Lyme disease, one of my previous, I've got the link somewhere on my site and I can put it on again, but one of the cures is
colloidal
just,
silver injections?
No, that's another one. Drink colloidal silver. You don't have to inject it. But
I used to make
it. It's more effective if you inject it. I won't mention names, but I know a doctor I know a doctor that has a friend that couldn't get treated here in the way he wanted to be treated. He had a heart condition, or at least that's what the doctor said. His sternum was inflamed. And so he went out of country to get colloidal silver injections to kill the infection that was causing his sternum to be inflamed. And the infection went away, and he didn't need to have heart surgery anymore after that. But his heart doctor, cardiologist, got mad and told him to get the hell out of his office.
Sure, he lost out on a nice, pricey surgery.
Yeah, he wasn't a
country. He would have had to write a paper on him.
So I found one of the Nazi scientists who appears to have been involved with Plum Island was Dr. Eric Traub, who was in charge of the Third Reich's virological and bacteriological warfare program. World War II, was Traub involved with experiments that led to the spread of Lyme disease, is the question asked. And I got here by doing a search on U.S. Army CIA Social Medical Experiments, Plum Island.
Yeah.
You got all
guy?
Man, am really hoping that Trump gets in and that he puts a stop to all this stuff. We have no reason to be doing these things.
Okay, people put a lot of hope in Trump.
Can't?
No, and here's why. When you go into office, you get to meet people that the public doesn't know about, okay? And they sit you down and they tell you, this is how it is, okay? Plain and simple. And
I don't think he's not the temperament to take that kind of stuff. He really isn't. I really think that part of his anger comes from, and Alex Jones talks openly about this. I don't know if it's true, but the theory is that Barron Trump is autistic from vaccines. That's the theory, and that's enough to tip anybody off. When they've hurt your own child, we're hoping he goes in there to smash up the place and drain the swamp.
Yeah,
figuratively,
but when you get into the shadow government, these people, without having an outright revolt of we the people, along the lines of 1776, you're not going to stop them at this point.
We are along those lines.
Yeah, they're too damn powerful. Yeah.
This is the Civil War. We're trying to solve it with ballots, not bullets.
Look at all the people that want to vote for Hitlery. People are too dumbed down. Okay, I mean it's insane. They call evil good and good evil. Does that sound familiar at all? Okay.
Something
like out of the Bible, right? You know, the end times.
Yeah.
So,
this is certainly biblical scale. We have to keep fighting.
Larry, you're preaching to the choir.
I know that. I've been around Freedomizer for several years. I used to have a radio show here a long time ago. But anyway.
Well, what's stopping you now?
I drive a truck for a living, and I burned a candle at both ends for too long and just said, okay, been there, done that. I'm giving back the T-shirt now. Thank you. But, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. I don't regret it, all right? I mean, it was cool and everything. But it just, the life of a truck driver is like all hours, 24/7, you drive, and you have to make deliveries. I'm not reliable as far as a radio show host goes. Now, if I went full-time to my
organic...
Pretty
soon it's going to be all self-driving trucks. And you'll have to come back.
I boycott the thought. Okay.
What was the name of your show? Maybe I can find the archives.
Critical Immunity.
Critical Immunity. Okay.
Yeah, it was a couple, 2 or 3, 4 years ago. I don't know, 3 years ago. something like that.
I'll find some
but anyway, I also do organic farming on a small scale, and I'm trying to get that developed to where I can supply restaurants and things like that, and maybe some farmers markets, and get out of this grind. I really hope that no time soon do trucks get driverless, because 80,000 pounds, anything and everything that goes wrong can be a catastrophe.
Yeah.
You blow out a tire on a steer tire, it could flip the truck over. That's not good.
Wow. Did you tune in early enough to hear us talk about the robot? Did you tune in early enough to hear us talk about the self-driving cars and how Drudge Report is reporting that they're teaching the self-driving cars to choose the life of the passenger over the life of a pedestrian?
That kind of stuff. I mean, that goes into the transhumanism and eugenics and who's more valuable and all that other kind of stuff. And it's like
disgusting.
All lives matter.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
I don't care what their age is. Yes. Yes.
How did you tune into this show?
I clicked into Freedomizer and dialed it in. I have a cell phone.
I was just wondering how you learned about the show.
Chris, I was just seeing who was on. Proof is a friend of mine. I've known Proof for several years. I won't say his name on
Proof
air.
Proof is the boss of the place, Steve.
I see.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he's the big kahuna.
Depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, he runs the network here, the Freedomizer network.
Yeah, he's the man who pays the bills, basically.
Yeah,
and,
good to have a few of those around.
But he's good people, you know. I met him, oh gosh, man, it's been a long time ago, back before even Ron Paul was running. But I started out, I was a caller, and he blinked and
You're breaking up.
You're fading. You're fading. Are you driving in the canyons there? Because you're fading. Well, I don't know if you can hear us. We can't hear you. And there's a guy on YouTube that does a lot of organic farming in Calgary. There's this new business model where you actually just kind of rent people's yards and grow your farm dispersed over suburbia. And you know, you let the homeowners, you know, eat some of the produce, but the rest you sell at farmers markets and restaurants and stuff like that. And that's pretty cool to watch. There's a YouTube channel that I like to watch with that. So I don't know if that's your business model. You don't have to buy land that way. It's just kind of cool. Oh, you're still faded out. We can't bring him back in. Oops. Well, he's gone. He fell off.
Yeah.
You still there, Steve?
Yeah, I just sent you another link.
Okay.
It lists the, what it calls the, let's see here at the top, 13 most evil U.S. governmental or government human experiments.
Yeah, this stuff has to end. This stuff has to end. And we have a few minutes left in the show, and I need to take one more break before we run out of time at 6 o'clock. 9 o'clock Eastern. So let me take another break here, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty Stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Does the media ever deceive the public? a white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news?
All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
Hi, Larry. It looks like you came back from around the mountainside there.
Yes,
are you
I
there?
Did. I went through a canyon. Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me? You can hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can
Sounds
hear
like
you.
Sounds like a Verizon commercial.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear me sometimes. Hey, where do you live, Suzanne?
I'm broadcasting from the Phoenix area, calling from the Tucson area. And I know there's some people
Arizonians.
On the East Coast.
How did McCain win?
It's Arizonans. There's no I in that. Yeah. It's like Tucsonans, Arizonans. Well, Phoenicians, I guess they
Arizona.
Have an IA on them. Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of like made it up. I just, you know, I don't know what y'all call yourselves. I just kind of went.
Right,
know.
Yeah, who knows? I had a deck of Texan on Facebook today.
I caught the part of what you were saying about Canada and they're, you know, using people's farms, house yards and stuff.
Yeah, there's a guy on YouTube with wonderful.
That's a good idea as long as those people don't get stupid and use fertilizers on their grass like Scott's Turf Builder.
Oh, no. He does all the tending. And there's a company in Gilbert, Arizona that will do that too. And I've also seen a video on a woman in Brooklyn who does it. She rents out people's backyards. She totally maintains the organic gardens, farms that she's got going on in their yards. And they're allowed to eat, you know, some of the produce. And there's probably some financial arrangement too, but then she doesn't have to buy land. The guy in I think it's Alberta doesn't have to buy land. The guy in Gilbert doesn't have to buy land. They're renting out people's yards and they're providing farmers markets. And so I didn't know if that was a model that you were going to take for yourself. You don't have to buy land if you're borrowing.
I'm doing it
backyard.
The hard way. I'm out in the country and I can't do city. I'd hurt somebody. I've already been there and done that, living in the city thing. And it's like, if my neighbor is more than a half a mile away, less than a half a mile away, he's too close. I mean, you know, just, I like people like, you know, if I want to talk to them, you know, I have to get in the car and kind of drive over to their house kind of thing, or call them up and go, hey, what you doing? Let's go out back. Come on over. We'll go out back and, you know, practice on the shooting range or something, you know, whatever. But
so
yeah,
you
want to
own your own
land. Like, well, I'm out in the country, yeah. I can step out the back door and target practice if I want, okay?
Oh, you already got
of course,
the land.
So that also means
up.
I'm already out in the country. But that also means I have
wow.
to deal with cougars. I have to deal with wild hogs. I have to deal with bobcats and skunks and, the occasional little critters like that. But, yeah.
I have my little container
garden
here, and I've got to deal with scorpions. One got me earlier this summer. That's pretty bad.
Hey, they hurt.
Yeah, that does
yeah,
hurt.
Yeah, I lost the use of that arm for a couple of days. But I got it back. Not everybody does, from what I read.
Well, are you familiar
yeah,
with
here in
Oral, diatomaceous?
I actually saw.
Earth.
I've seen a wolf and a mountain lion on our street.
Wow.
Did you live
we used
where
to get
now, Steve?
In Tucson.
In Oro Valley, not far
of Arizona.
From CDO High School.
He's on the north side of Tucson.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're red wolves down there. Yeah.
Yep.
But are you familiar with diatomaceous earth?
Yep.
What we call
PE.
You sprinkle that around
that down
your
and
house.
Get rid of my scorpions.
Yeah, because I've had to do that myself. Okay, and it works on fire ants to a degree. But anyway, yeah, if you sprinkle it around the foundation of your house and put it out in your yard and stuff, it pretty much ruins their day. You know, they don't do so good. Yeah, I've never been hit by a scorpion,
woman with
but a friend of mine.
Yeah.
But what do, What? Do what?
Oh, another woman with a homestead on YouTube, she feeds diatomaceous earth, like, I don't know, once or twice a year to her chickens, and that deworms them. And had I known that a few years ago, I had a relative end up with an intestinal worm.
Well,
I
give it to them more than twice a year. I mix it in with their feed about once a week or so.
Oh, wow. So, okay,
and,
feed chickens and diatomaceous earth, yeah.
It's not going to hurt them. Okay.
Maybe that's what
it
I should eat.
It just hurts. It's not bad for you. I mean, as long as you don't breathe it, it'll mess up your lungs.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
can eat it, and it won't mess up your insides. Go figure on that one. It's weird. But, but yeah, it really does a number on any critter that has an exoskeleton. It really messes them up. Now, it doesn't hurt earthworms, so it's cool in that way. It's earthworm friendly. Okay.
Well, and how does it deworm the chickens?
It doesn't kill all
aren't
parasites for certain ones. You have to do several things. They say don't give chickens walnut hulls, but I have in the past, and it didn't hurt them. But I also give chickens apple cider vinegar in their water. And not only does that keep the green scum from growing, it's good for the chickens. So there you go. But I've never really had a problem with parasites because I also put it heavily on the chicken coop floor. So I don't have a problem with flies and external parasites or anything like that either. And with them being allowed to run around and eat grass, they're happy hens. So, you know, but, you know, you have to have
my
happy hens if you want happy
chicken,
eggs.
Yeah, happy eggs.
Yep,
yeah, my son's girlfriend is a chicken whisperer. She raises them from a hatchling, and they just sit on her lap and she pets them like cats, and they just kind of bliss out and watch TV with her, and they just kind of go man. it's fascinating to watch. So we call her the chicken whisperer.
That's cool, but you have to be careful about how. I mean, it's okay. Like with my original 9 hens. And Mr. Whiskers, my rooster, those were the pets, if you will. Okay, I would never even think about eating them. But the offspring...
Oh, no, she doesn't. She doesn't eat her own chicken. She does eat their eggs.
I know, but the offspring, I'd have to, like, keep at a distance because eventually, you know, they are going to become dinner. I mean, there's a reason for having chickens. It's called food, you know, and when you get, like, 9 or 10 roosters... You know, you kind of have to thin out the herd, so to speak. And it's really hard if they're your pets. And you're like, now, Mr. Whiskers, he was my little bud after we had an agreement that I was boss. It took a knock upside his head, but because I had a he's Americano rooster, okay? They lay the blue eggs.
Yeah.
He didn't lay eggs, but, you know, Americanos lay blue eggs. But anyway, he got real uppity when he started growing his spurs. And one day I went out in the back of the yard without my dog. I have a Tibetan Mastiff named Nessie. She's Mama Puss, right? Because she adopted them when they were little babies out of the brooder and all that. But anyway, so I walked back to the yard, and I had the rake with me because I was going to turn the compost. And he attacks at me because I just came through the gate, you know, and he's going to stand up for his hens. And I kind of just, you know, waved the rake at him to push him away and smacked him upside the head by accident. Knocked him out cold. I thought
I killed
him at first. I was like, oh, no, Mr. Whiskers. And I petted him and everything. I could tell he was still alive. He was breathing and everything. I was like, okay, hopefully I didn't cause him brain damage. But he started coming to and he woke up. That was the last time he attacked me. He realized, man, he is boss man. Okay.
I had a
cockatiel
in Hawaii, and when I clipped her wings, I started putting her on my shoulder, and she got up to 65 miles an hour with me on a motorcycle. But the first thing that I did is take her and put her in the cabin of the boat I was living on at the time. And I figure, you know, Polly want a cracker. I gave her a cracker and she bit me. And without thinking, I whacked her. She knocked up against the wall and fell on the floor and shook her head. Last person she ever bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sometimes birds have to have this direct communication thing where the only thing they understand is
power.
Physical non-verbal, yeah, power. I was trying to think of a tactful, nice
kid
way to say it, but
yeah,
little kids sometimes
with
need a whack on the butt,
you know? 2-year-old, you can't get their attention otherwise.
Kind of like
you're not going to beat them or spank them. You just can't get their attention.
Yeah, government's the same way. Look at what Thomas Jefferson said. Once in a while, you're going to have to bloody their nose. Just the way it is. They're like kids. You know?
Time for rakes and pitchforks.
Well, back in the day, that's what kept politicians honest was the practice of tar and feathering, things like that, you know.
Yeah.
And that made a politician think twice before he got really too stupid.
Yep.
When we got
that's
civilized,
the reason for the Second Amendment.
Didn't do that anymore. Yeah.
And I need to apologize, but I'm out of time here, so I need
to
end the show. But, you know, tune in again next week, the same Tuesday, 4:30, and I need
channel.
To go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
God bless.
So
take
where's
care.
My, God
Happy
bless
trails.
You, too.
See you, Larry.
Bless
don't
you
crash.
Too.
Never. All right. God bless. Bye, guys.
Bye.